Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
I think it's more of a problem. I don't know.
It's a bad idea because people will not buy from you. They'll buy from the internet or if you're selling it online. If that's your plan, then you're fine. But if you're trying to get people into your store, buy models off your shelf, it's not going to work out unless you have like a very small group that you just cater to that group. Because I mean, there's too many people like you in the world who just like, I'm using your tables. Have you ever bought anything here? No. We've been open for 2 years. Yeah, well, you know, I'm Joe.
It's true.
And that's why everyone asked me, I'm like, no, don't, like, one of my customers was like, hey, what do you know about this Infinity game? And I'm like, I know you shouldn't carry it. And they're like, but no, what's it like? And I'm like, well, there's a million billion SKUs. The figures are really expensive. Rules are garbage.
What
more do you want?
If one of your customers came up to me and said, should I carry Infinity? I'd say, yo habla español, and he said, what? I say, no, don't carry it. Don't even bother.
No, because it's not Espanol. It's fucking broken English.
It's Spanglish is what it is.
Not even Spanglish. It's just broken English. It's like Car Bank 7. What? What does that mean?
But yeah.
Yeah, minis are not the way to go.
They're not very profitable. It's just a good way.
No, the profit margins on them are huge if someone would actually buy them.
Yeah,
that doesn't work. That's why I tell them, like, minis games are dying. Like, they're like the age of the Warhammers is rapidly dwindling.
Would you say it's the end times?
Oh, I would say it's the end times. Yeah. All of the miniatures games are going to be in reality bubbles, and they're going to hit each other, and nobody's going to be able to play because they're different games.
So it's going to be like, oh, my Infinity hit my Wild West Exodus bubble. Yep. How are we going to play this?
We're not.
No, that'd be a joke. No one plays Wild West Exodus.
Let's play something else. That's not a miniatures game.
Heads on giant bodies.
Yeah, the only... actually, Wild West Exodus is like that's the future model of miniatures games because it's small.
Yeah.
There's only like 5 or 10 figures aside. That's the future.
Like, I would normally agree with you, but I still think that there is a market for platoon level size games. People like it.
I mean, I'm not saying there isn't a market. There's a market for sports cards, but it's still a dying market.
And sports ball games.
Sports balls games. No, not the games. This is specifically the cards.
No,
there's a market for it, but it's dying.
But every time I go to like a store, and I'm not just talking like the local ones here, like anytime I go anywhere, it's always like you see games that are army based. You never see people playing skirmish games, with the exception of maybe Infinity.
No, so you don't understand what I'm saying. I am not saying that people are like quitting en masse or what on that note. I'm saying the games are dying because new players are not being generated.
That's
all it is. Because I see it from the macro scale of distribution.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that most people are cutting miniatures games. Like, many. Like, people are like just cutting.
Well,
and they're cutting War Machine and Hordes, and they're cutting games that are not like that were traditionally very strong. And they're just like, yeah, I don't want it anymore.
I would normally agree with you. I'm from my perspective, at least, I don't see that going away.
I mean, it's not an agree disagree. It's just like the numbers are going down.
Yeah, I mean, that could very well be. From what I'm seeing, though, I see it as very healthy still. I still see a lot of players still playing that size
Players
games.
Don't actually matter. New players and purchases matter.
Yeah.
Like, if everyone in the world suddenly started playing 40K, but no one ever bought a miniature ever again, that game would be dead.
Well, hypothetically. Yeah.
Play does not make... with card. See, that's the interesting thing. With card games, play creates sales, creates more events, creates revenue.
Yeah.
With miniatures games, play means it means nothing.
I understand that. But when you say it's dead, I don't agree with the fact of it.
It's not dead. It's dying.
Dying.
It's a dying market.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes. I'll agree with you. It's a dying market. However, I still see tons and tons of people playing, and so maybe it might die. But if people are still playing, the game is alive and well. It's just like how I feel like Warhammer's still alive and well, even though it's like no one buys this shit anymore, and it's still like the largest tournaments that you're ever gonna see.
I mean, it's alive and well in the least relevant way possible.
Okay, I'll give you that. And skirmish games, the only skirmish game that I see being played on a regular basis is Malifaux.
You actually see people playing Malifaux?
No, I smell them from like miles away.
I don't think I've ever seen. I think I've seen one person play a game of Malifaux ever, like in the wild.
Yeah. Did you know you never just walk down the street and you're like, smells like Malifaux in here?
Then I usually turn the corner and see you.
I don't play Malifaux.
No, you just smell.
Please, of the two of us,
you're definitely the stinkier
oh,
one.
Yeah.
No question.
I don't know where that came from. That's the most false statement you've made today.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, welcome to Game Classy.
I speak only in 100% accuracies.
Yes. Welcome to Game Classy.
Nice Frozen sticker.
I know. It's my daughter's. What am I going to do?
I don't know. Ruin your technology with Frozen stickers?
Yes. I'm your host, Joe, and with me, as always, is the Lewis Tully to my Peter Venkman, Steve.
The superintendent's going to be pissed. Yes.
Yeah, speaking of that, I just
all right, who brought the dog?
We're gonna talk about dun dun da 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 dun dun bum bum dun dun dun
zombicide.
Gonna get some zombicide. Cryptozoic ported out zombicide to create the Ghostbusters Ghosticide. What are we calling it? Zombie Busters.
Oh god, I almost threw up.
Yes, and that's why I'm the stinkiest of the two of us.
Because I almost threw up. Well, I mean, if I threw up on you, that would definitely be a fact.
Well, yes, I'll give you that.
And then you'd have the little stink lines with the flies. So, I'm just going to call it Ghostbusters.
I'm just going to call it Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
It's essentially just a port of the Zombicide rules. Instead of the survivors, you get the four Ghostbusters. Of course,
I don't know if it's an exact port because I didn't see anything about what's or who's it's the
what's or who's it's
the noise.
Oh, but yeah, so it's actually really nice looking. Not 100% sold on the figures. The figures are all CAD, of course, on the Kickstarter, so you don't know, but. You know, you get Venkman, you get Stance, you get Spangler,
the
and Zedmore. What?
The Ecto-1.
Do you get the Ecto-1? I didn't see the Ecto-1.
Yeah, I saw the Ecto-1.
Oh, yeah, I see it in yep. there, yeah.
There's the Ecto-1, there's the Zool Beasts.
Yeah, well, yeah, you get Slimer,
there's
Stay
no
Puff
Dingo,
Marshmallow Man.
Zool.
Yeah. You get Stay Puff Marshmallow.
No, they have the dogs, too.
Yeah.
And Gozer, I believe, has been added. The Gozerian.
That might be a stretch goal they haven't gotten yet.
Yeah, there's a bunch of that stuff coming down the pipe.
Oh, yeah.
The pipe.
Vince Clortho, Keymaster of Gozer.
That's right.
Oh man, this would just
the
be
the Keymaster.
What would be the point of even playing the game if you had it? You take it out, and all you do is just reenact scenes from the
movie. You know what's actually
movie.
Pretty awesome for it though is doing if anyone is playing the old West End Ghostbusters RPG.
These are great figures for
you
that.
You fucking got a badass setup now.
Yeah, you do.
You have your fucking players and get an Ecto-1 and cruise around. That'd be fucking sweet. That game is really good. The Ghost Die is one of the. I'm really surprised that no miniatures game has stolen. The Ghost Die idea. Art and Miniatures game. No RPG has stolen the Ghost Die idea. Because that was one of the things that made everything in Ghostbusters, the West End game, more exciting and fun. Huh. They should. Someone should really do that. Because that was a great rule that no one else has stolen. Usually, like, what you know, with games, you know, you'll see echoes of previous games or other games in. New additions, and you'll be like, oh, I remember that. That's like Shadowrun, you know, or like the exploding dice from Deadlands.
Yeah. There's a $5 add-on, you can get the Shandor building. Shandor.
Finally.
Finally. I mean, in all honesty, as much as I would not like... This is not my thing. Like, I'm never going to play something like this.
I did
this.
Not like Zombicide as a game. I thought it was very bad.
Yeah.
Quite bad, actually.
Yeah, we know your feelings.
This one I would at least try because, I mean, it's the Busters.
Yeah.
And
that's the
worst case scenario, you got a bunch of sweet ghosts and Ghostbuster minis.
I know. And
there you go. You know what? You should use it as a count as army to win the next 40K, Warhammer UK Masters.
Yeah, like the minions.
The minion. Well, no, the UK Masters was won by a list that was there's much chicanery and nonsense that involves in the UK.
Oh, really?
Masters,
chicanery and nonsense in a Warhammer tournament.
Which is
I've never
well,
heard, seen that before.
UK Masters is supposed to be the most prestigious thing you could win in the UK. I don't know. Someone from the UK is probably going to correct me and be like, that's not it, you wanker. And I'll be like, I am a wanker.
yes, sir.
But the,
I am a wanker.
The winning list was
this man has no dick.
65 high elf archers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you were telling me about this. Well, did we say this on the podcast list?
No, that was on Facebook.
I was on Facebook.
But it was 65 high elf archers, four or five, two special characters, and then three or four wizards, all in the same unit, in the big tower, the folding tower magic item, plus two great eagles. And the great eagles were just white primer with black beaks. On white bases. I think they were dry brushed blue or something.
Yeah.
And then the elves, the archers, were turquoise. They were sprayed turquoise. They had brown bows and then a dark green cape, and they were wood elf archers.
Ooh.
Miniatures.
Ugh.
So they were painted to the minimum possible standard, which is three colors.
Three colors.
So
which originally intended was supposed to be shade, highlight, base.
Right. Well, the idea is that you have a
base, shade, highlight.
You have like a there's a certain level that like you want to strive for minis. But so that's how it was painted.
Yeah.
And the guy is just like, yeah, fuck it. Like those are the rules. Those are the base. Those I'm going by the very definition of these highly exploitable rules, and he just rickrolled everyone, I guess.
Yeah. I mean,
the previous tournament winner, however,
I don't know if he rickrolled them, but he definitely rolled them.
I think my mic turned off.
No, I hear you.
Do you?
Yeah.
How come I don't hear me? Oh, there we go. It's my it's my jack over there, baby. All right, that makes sense now.
You didn't plug it in all the way. Well, this would be a common theme with you.
You know, I only like going halfway on things.
Just the tip.
Yeah,
and so he
that's why I don't have any damn wiener kids.
Yeah. So he went all the way.
So there was the previous one, the previous tournament winner for that was playing a counts as demon army.
Yeah.
And his counts as demon army was all just plastic bug toys on bases.
Yeah.
So his like soul grinder was like a giant like rhinoceros beetle toy, and apparently there was a Buddha ogre army, which was an ogre army made of little Buddha statues. You know, the fat little Buddha statues you can buy for like a dollar at any Chinese anything.
Mm-hmm.
That was his ogre army, and then there was a Coke bottle army.
Yeah.
That was made with mini Coke bottles.
Well, that's what you get. Well, I mean, a lot of times, yeah. But that's just that's GW's fault. That's 100% their fault. Not the tournament in any way, shape, or form. But the fact that people don't want to fucking buy their minis anymore. It's just too expensive.
I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into that. Like one, like a lot. Some of it's the guys like saying like this tournament system needs comp rules. Like it's bad. Like we need comp rules.
There also is a level of let's fuck it. Let's just have some fun.
Right. There's a bit of that for sure.
Because I know like in a couple games that I play, like there's no actual official figures and people like doing like really fun creative stuff with it. Like what's that called? The one that the fucking base arm where it's all about the base size as opposed to like the figures that you put on it.
Oh, Hordes of the Things?
Hordes of the Things, thank you. The game that I like. Hordes of the Things, I know like a couple people have pumpkin armies. So
talk about a game that nobody plays, jeez.
Yeah. Well that's as I said, there's no figures for it. It's like a very old timey type game.
Yeah.
But people like I've seen a Christmas tree army, I've seen pumpkin armies, like a guy takes just like pumpkins and fucking shit.
I hate that. That's the worst. Like when I see this,
but that's
like,
what the game is designed around. It's designed around being creative.
That minions army, that 40K, that Skaven minions army. Like I would have, it would have taken every fiber in my being to not just smash that army if I saw it. Like that's like baseball ogres level.
Baseball. Oh, the baseball,
you
ogres.
The baseball ogres.
I remember the baseball
fucking
ogres.
Fucking awful.
I know you hate that.
I fucking hate that shit. Like, do not do a fucking theme army. What is wrong with you?
I remember when.
Stop.
Back when we worked at the bunker, there was a guy who was doing the training program there, and they always had to build the fantasy. They had to pick, like, whatever army they're doing, fantasy or 40K or whatever. And there was a guy who did an ogre army, but he did them all Asian style, so it was led by the ninja ogre, and all of his ogres had the rice paddy hats. And he painted them terracotta, so they look like the terracotta warriors of Xi'an. And I was like, it's cheesy, but at the same time, it looks pretty good for being like a themed army like that.
That one, for me, that army's like on the line.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's about to tip to be okay and tip to be not okay.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you one thing. It may be my hobby, your hobby, but my hobby is much better than your hobby.
I think my hobby is better than your hobby.
That's the rule. Dude, no, it's not. It's impossible. You play butt action.
It's impossible.
We've went over this. No matter what I play, I could say, hey, I just picked up the new My Little Pony miniatures game. I'm still at a higher tier than you because you play a historical game and love it so much.
And love it so much.
Forever. Like I said, until you quit it in a blind rage, you will never come out of that pit. You're in the punji stakes like a NAM.
Well, they finally fixed the Germans, for Christ's sake.
Next thing you're going to be talking to me about how good the NAM one is.
Ugh. I can't. But that's getting into something different. I don't want to.
You'll be playing Napoleonics.
Ugh.
He'll be like, I only play the first year of the Franco-Prussian, James Franco-Prussian War.
That was like 7 years after Napoleon. Was that, sir?
No, Napoleonics, and also you only play the first year of the James Franco-Prussian War. Yeah. Like, you play both.
That's what we call a black powder rule system, sir, just to let you know in the Grognard world. But yeah, so the Ghostbusters one...
You should snap your suspenders
as I say that. The Ghostbusters one, I definitely would take a look at. It's a little on the expensive side, if I remember correctly. $125. So that's a little pricey. You're getting a lot of shit with it.
You know, it's not... Zombicide retails for $80.
Yeah, I guess.
So if that's the mega pledge, that's the tier higher than the base, right?
Yeah.
So then that's about right, actually. Yeah,
I mean, I'm...
If you feel that Zombicide being an $80 MSRP or $90 MSRP is reasonable, if you feel that way, then that's not expensive.
Okay, so wait, hold on a second. So the $80 one is the Paranormal Pledge. That one gets you the base game along with all the applicable stretch goals unlocked during the campaign.
There you go.
So that's not too bad. It's still a little on high, but it's not terrible. $125 is the one that gives you the deluxe game box featuring Kickstarter exclusive packaging with foil stamping exclusive 12x12 Glacier print.
Foil stamping.
Glow in the dark dice.
Yes. Finally.
Four exclusive double sided game board tiles, exclusive Sandman boss figure from the cartoon, right? Wasn't Sandman from the cartoon?
Sandman was from the cartoon. Fucking horrifying.
Yeah. An impossible mode, angry supersized Stay Puft Marshmallow Man figure and ghost card, and additional episodes plus all applicable stretch goals. That's not bad. It's still $125. For $125, I don't know. I like Ghostbusters, but I don't know if I like Ghostbusters enough. I feel that...
The pricing is in line with Zombicide. So if you felt that the pricing for Zombicide is reasonable, this game's got reasonable pricing.
Like nostalgia levels rising. I have to contain myself.
They're actually hitting all of the notes with this one because they're using the current IDW designs for the characters.
Yeah.
They've taken enemy designs from the films, from the cartoon show, and from the comics, and from the toy line, because there's a few
I saw the
ghosts in there that were strictly only in the real Ghostbusters action figure.
What
line.
I want is I want the Postman figure that has the monster that turns into a monster, and the Garbage Man one where the garbage can goes on top of his head
and
the
fly comes out.
Yeah, that's what I. Those are the ones
sweet.
I want. Yeah,
there's the old lady too, where you pull her little like bonnet hat and half her body opens up and she's just a mouth. And the football player whose ass is his mouth.
Yeah, and they're also doing like, for hero figures. I know they're adding Janine, and they're probably going to add Lewis. In the Ghostbuster outfit. So that would be pretty cool, too. I hope they get the guy in the wheelchair from Extreme Ghostbusters.
The dude from Ghostbusters Extreme? That show is actually pretty good.
Or...
If I remember, it's been a while, but I remember liking that show.
Or I want the giant monkey from Ghostbusters cartoon that was done.
The fake Ghostbusters?
The fake Ghostbusters.
Go, go, Ghostbusters. Go, go, go.
With the skull.
That was their theme song.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, they had... The enemies were like a bumbling group of universal monsters.
Yeah.
If I remember. It was like a skeleton. Bones and a vampire and a werewolf, and they would be like, "Yeah, you knuckleheads!" They were basically the Stooges. It was fucking weird.
So you want them for this game, is what you're saying?
I do not. I think that was based off of an old fucking
live action serial.
Yeah, with was it?
I don't. There's no one really famous.
Abbott and Costello.
No, it was, but it was similar in that vein.
I don't know.
That.
I'm sure someone I know was in it because I fucking love old shit.
What if they do a Cthulhu?
They could.
A collect call
they
of could. Cthulhu.
The Busters do deal with Cthulhu, and they talk about Lovecraft. It's pretty awesome.
It would. I mean, that's
was one of the weirdest things ever. Like, because I mean, I saw that episode as a child, having no idea about it at all. And then after that, I was like, I seem to remember something with like the Ghostbusters and that. And I was like, fuck. And I credit the Ghostbusters with a lot of my developmental growth and interests.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like a huge Ghostbusters fan anymore. Of course, I love the movies. The cartoons are all right. I never cared about the comic books or anything like that. I have friends who are way bigger Ghostbuster fans than I am.
I love the cartoon, and I really like the IDW stuff. I actually have some issues over there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, trades, I just saw
trades,
that.
Not issues.
So, I mean, I would maybe if you're a Ghostbusters fan and you wanted to go and dip your toe into Zombicide, but it's just too far for you right now. This looks like it might be a better version of Zombicide, at least. Who knows?
Yeah,
it's Cryptozoic, and Cryptozoic does some pretty decent stuff.
There looks like there's going to be some new mechanics too, because like there's trapping the ghosts apparently a thing, like dropping them off, and like I like the way the XP is gained. Well, so we'll see.
Well, the light turns green. The trap is clean.
Trap's clean. Well, everything was fine until our power grid was shut off by Dickless here.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
That man has no dick. All right, so enough with quoting fucking...
That would be great. We just do that all day.
We probably could. Don't get me wrong.
And then they'll add the all-lady Ghostbuster expansion pack as well.
Oh, are they going to do that?
I don't know. They should.
Well, if that movie ever gets made... Let's be honest here. It's in very early stages of development.
Fuck, the only movie I care about right now is the fucking alien movie that the guy who directed District 9 and Chappie.
Yeah.
I care about that movie a lot, and I really want that movie to happen.
It could be good.
I want that movie to fucking happen.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to see Chappie. Like, he's a guy, I've liked every movie I've seen that he's done.
Yeah, I mean, even, what was the one that he did with fucking Matt Damon?
Matt Damon. That was Exodus or...
No. Yeah, but he's
the one where they talk in Spanish.
The one that was all about class.
I thought it was Exodus.
No, it's not Exodus.
Serenity. It's the name of the space station.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the name of it.
Yeah.
Peacetown.
Peacetown.
Sweet space station. Cyborg Damon.
I liked that movie a lot. It was really sweet. I mean, I liked everything about that movie except for the fact I loved all the action sequences in that movie. Those were all done really well.
Elysium.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. You got the sweet exo suit that's drilled into his.
And then he's fighting the other dude in the exo suit.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
That's what's his face? From District 9. The guy.
It's the guy who's not Daniel Day-Lewis.
The guy who's in all of Neil Blomkamp's movies, yeah.
And I call him not Daniel Day-Lewis.
I like District 9. District 9 is one of those movies that was like a one and done where I was just like, I like this movie. Never going to watch it again.
Yeah, it's kind of, you kind of don't need to.
Yeah, you don't need to. Elysium, meh. The fight scenes are really good, but once it gets like I understand the message that you're trying to send, Neil Blomkamp, and just a little heavy-handed here. Just a tiny heavy-handed. But Chappie looks like it's going to be good. Chappie looks like it's going to be one of those male like tearjerkers like, I'm not crying, man.
Dude, that movie looks like Super Short Circuit.
It looks like a better version of Short Circuit. Well,
it's Super Short Circuit. It's just like a Super Nintendo game. You play Metroid and NES. Wow, this game's great. You play Super Metroid. It's like, wow, this game's better. It's fucking Super Short Circuit.
But will it have...
Johnny Five is fucking alive.
Will it have Gutenberg?
It has Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, but does it have... Wait, Hugh Jackman's in that movie?
Yeah, sure.
I remember him.
He's the fucking villain.
Oh,
he's
that's right. Roy,
shut that robot off. I can't do his accent. I think he's like... I know he's Australian, but he doesn't sound Australian. I think... Actually, he might not even be Australian.
He's Australian.
Is he? Okay. Because I heard him talking, and I was just like, fuck. I've seen so much Hugh Jackman of him not speaking with his accent.
Yeah.
When he talks with his accent, it totally disrupts my brain. I'm like, what the fuck is...
Well, you're also just looking at his pecs, and you're just mesmerized by them.
No, I'm mesmerized by his chiseled good looks.
By his chiseled good looks. I look at his upper... I look at his torso meat, and I'm just like, oh, yeah.
His torso meat. He's just a torso with fucking arms sticking out of it. Like, good day. Good day. Good day. Good day. Good day. Put another trip on the Bobby.
So speaking of, either way. I got two more big news stories.
That river must be at least 7 meters across. And who knows how many fathoms.
What the hell is that from?
I don't fucking know.
Battlefront. Have you heard about this?
Nope. I try not to pay attention to Battlefront. Are you talking about their battle with dust?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That I've heard about.
Yeah. So apparently, you know, Battlefront got the rights to distribute dust away from...
Paolo Palente.
Well, I mean, it was originally... Okay, so...
The split between Fantasy Flight and Dust Inc. was amicable.
Yeah.
They were like, whoop, we will part ways.
Dust has... anything done by Paolo Palente tends to have big issues. Dust got... separated from Fantasy Flight, Battlefront picked them up for distribution. They did a Kickstarter for their whole desert campaign. I think it's called Operation Babylon. That was all supposed to be the desert war. It was going to be all like British and French and Deutsche Afrika Korps. And they did all that stuff. So Wave 1 got shipped, and all of a sudden, shit started going weird with it. Dust just put up something. Apparently... The biggest issue is with William Yao, Dust Studios' majority shareholder, YAU. The fact is that they've we've already paid more. This is Battlefront's reply to all that shit that's going on. Because mm-hmm. Dust was saying, like, Battlefront's fucking us over on blah, blah, blah.
Right, that's what we heard.
And he said, this is Battlefront says, the fact is we've already paid more than the $401,000 to Dust Studios from the Kickstarter funds. We provided them with a complete list of confirmed orders after the pledge manager closed. And so far, nothing is coming out. So it's about all about a payment thing between Battlefront and Dust.
So basically, one of them saying that we paid that guy, and then that guy's also saying we paid that guy. So they're saying they paid each other, and that's what they're blaming each other.
Yeah, pretty much is what it is. Well, no, well, I think
you know what happens in this kind of scenario. Nobody wins.
Nobody. Well, you know who doesn't win? The people who back the Kickstarter.
They definitely don't win. But hey, you know what? As we've said before, that's the risk you take when you back a Kickstarter.
It's also what you get when you play a 1/35th scale World War II game.
It's not a World War II game. It's a fucking... Well, it has gorillas and zombies and walking tanks. That is not a World War II game. Come on now.
In my history of World War II, there were gorillas, not zombies and...
dinosaurs riding Nazis.
Or dinosaurs, riding Nazis. Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, that's what I went for.
There's actually a company out of... I think it's Australia that does a whole Nazis riding dinosaurs... like mini line that they do. It's pretty nice. They're okay.
Dude, but mine will totally beat those.
What?
Mine will totally beat those. They're way stronger. Dinosaurs riding Nazis.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Way
dinosaur,
better.
Dinosaur. You did a Panzer IV with a dinosaur inside of it. That'd be pretty sweet. Like it's just a T-Rex. Like
yeah. And he's got the little Kaiser helmet.
I was gonna say he's got a little Nazi helmet, like a, like the Totenkopf symbol on like an SS helmet.
No. I want the little Kaiser helmet. With
That's World War One.
I don't care.
It's a different thing altogether.
He's kicking it old school.
He's kicking it old school.
Yeah. Or he's a veteran from the First World War. He's wearing his old combat helmet.
Only if the Tyrannosaurus Rex has a little Hitler mustache.
And a sweet scar.
What is he, Otto Screnzi? Come on, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean...
That's that guy that they made that special model for, right? Butt action.
No.
The guy with the scar on his face. I don't know, they made some fucking SS officer into a fucking miniature for that. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to play with real life war criminals.
That's what my joke to a lot of people is. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Crimes against humanity, man. Crimes against humanity.
This is a fun game. Let's roll some dice.
I have no problems. I don't play Nazis. I don't play those guys.
I know, because you have to keep your desires hidden in secret.
It's true.
You've got your Confederate flag, and you have to like try and shelve it, and someone goes like, hey, wait a minute, and they open up your Confederate flag, and it's a Nazi flag. and you try and hide that, and they're like, no, wait. They open it, and they open up the Nazi flag, and there's a Klan hood. It's like, wait, you're everything.
No, I think it'd be funny if like you have a Confederate flag, and someone and, like they're like, oh, that's just my Confederate flag. You know, it's like, I feel real bad about having that. You know, they open it up, and it's a Nazi flag. They're like, this is so much worse.
Yeah, this is way worse.
Oh, but
yeah,
fucking Dust. I mean, This is a game that is actually not a terrible game. It's just like, come on, guys, get your shit together. This is the reason why no one plays your game, is because it's just fucking.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's a fucking mess.
Yeah, I mean, that situation is probably not going to get fixed, and the people who kickstarted are hosed. Well, I mean, they got their wave one stuff.
Yeah, they did get their wave one stuff.
That's better than some Kickstarters that just never deliver. I'm looking at you, Defiant Games. And there's a couple other ones that just never delivered. They just poofed into smoke.
Yeah. Did you see?
That's one of the double edged swords of having a very. This one's not a very successful Kickstarter. No. It's fine. It's good, but like the monumental ones.
Yeah, the million plus.
Yes, the millions and millions ones where you're just like fuck. Like
Ogre.
I am fully looking forward to the Exploding Kittens just like being a disaster.
Yeah.
Because that game is. They were not ready for that to happen.
All they're doing is just printing fucking cardboard. It shouldn't be that bad.
You're right. It shouldn't be. But something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the minis ones make sense because the minis ones, like, they outpace the plans. And I think that's where you run into these issues with some of these. I mean, everyone's getting better at it now because they're more experienced.
Yes.
They've got more, you know, they're all veterans of the Kickstarter. But I think a lot of times I was outpacing.
That was what happened with fucking Relic Knights and
Kingdom Death,
which still hasn't delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the pictures of the strike in Los Angeles? The dock worker strike?
Oh, yeah. I'm well aware of that. That's very important
for me. Yeah. Have you seen the pictures, though? In case anybody doesn't know, part of the reason why a lot of Kickstarters aren't delivering right now is because anytime you're getting anything from China, guess what? You're not getting
the
it.
Entire west coast of the United States is closed.
Yeah, it's shut down.
It's closed for business. There are just boats sitting upon boats sitting upon boats.
It's a dock worker strike.
They're just fucking waiting.
Old school, man. It's like fucking...
Remember, dude, those longshoremen make like $150K a year. They should fucking get off their asses and unload the fucking boats.
Not me, I mean, I'm fucking union. Union forever.
I don't know what their demands are. They make $150K a year. It's like, do you want more?
Don't make $150K a year.
Most of the longshoremen do.
Well, no. They probably make between 50 and 100, most of the majority.
Well, according to these documents that I've been looking at and been following very closely because it's important for my business.
Yeah, but you know what? They say that about school teachers, that most school teachers in my district make $150,000 a year.
Well, I mean, that's way overpaid because it's teachers.
I could tell you right now that is not the case.
Yeah. I mean, and again, that like longshoremen are important. They keep the economy moving. Teachers keep kids busy for a few hours a day. That's what they do.
Yeah. Yes, we're useless.
No. They keep kids busy for a few hours a day. Legit. Like, that is a thing, so their parents can work and keep
and
the economy
generate
moving.
The economy going. Keep right. the economy going.
So, yes, teachers are not totally useless. They keep those kids busy.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for that.
No problem. But they're not as important as longshoremen.
the pictures, if you look it up, there's a couple guys who took helicopters out there and took pics of all the boats.
Yep.
Holy fuck. I was like, Jesus,
it's a disaster.
This is like an armada looking to invade the
U.S. It's a disaster. It is the worst situation that we've ever had for shipping.
Yeah. It's your company or the U.S. as a whole.
The United States as a whole.
Yeah.
It's actually not as important. Like, for me, it's fucking over a few product lines, a few key product lines.
Because anything that's made in China or...
Yeah, anything that's made out of the country, which, fortunately, most of our products are not.
Yeah.
They're made here.
Yeah.
Or they come from a different thing.
Yeah.
Singapore, I think Singapore is okay. All the games we're getting from Singapore seem to be fine.
It's all right. My dad just went on strike, too. It was just like, and I had to hear from my uncle. My uncle's like, I heard your dad sitting at home right now. I'm like, oh, why? He goes, they're on strike. I'm like, he didn't tell me this. What? I didn't know.
What's your dad do?
He works at a refinery.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought he was a teacher. I'm like, so aren't you on strike?
Like, no, I'm not on strike. We might be on strike soon, but I don't know. fuck if I know. I was just like, what? All right. More power to
fucking unions. That spells trouble. Trouble with a capital T right here in River City.
What I said to him, I called him up and I'm like, what are you guys striking over? He goes, I don't fucking know.
Well, that was when I worked at UPS for the short while, like apparently there was a strike and they're like, we're striking. And I'm just like, what does that mean? Like, it means you don't get paid. Like, this is fucking bullshit. How do I get I need money.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are they striking over? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. But apparently, like, it was a super short strike because they were like, UPS, when UPS members strike, apparently the management goes like, all right, so we're going to give you an extra 25 cents for everyone and fuck off. It's like, that's what we're doing. And the union's like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in strikes too for other things where it's been like one day strikes, like, we got to, we need new safety mats, in the back. And they're like,
fuck's a safety mat?
You know, so you don't, non-slip mats. Uh-oh. And they'd be like, no, we're not going to give you that. All right, we're going on strike. And so it'd be like a one-day thing, and they'd be like, okay, we bought new safety mats. It's like, that's all we wanted.
Now the children can resume safety dancing. Huzzah. All right,
so let's get off the union. Oh,
speaking of games to small tournament sizes, games that are dead and people not playing things, the fucking Dark Age tournament at TempleCon had like 40 people.
Wow.
I was like, what? What? So, yeah, Dark Age. It's so hot right now.
It's so hot right now.
What the fuck?
That's so hot. Yeah, 40 people. That's a lot.
That's an actual tournament.
Yeah, that is.
I was like, that is impressive.
All right, let's talk about another Kickstarter and some interesting news. So Spartan Games has just come out of nowhere. Like, hey guys, remember us for Spartan Games?
Nobody remembers you, Spartan.
go away. Go back.
Go fuck yourselves.
Go back to your dystopian universe. But yeah, dystopian. Spartan Games is the people who do Dystopian Wars, Dystopian Legions. They do...
And various other games that people don't like.
Firestorm Armada. They don't do... what was the other? Uncharted Seas is dead. They don't support that one anymore.
Is that the one that they officially killed?
Did they officially kill it? Or it just... I know stores aren't carrying it anymore.
I think stores aren't carrying any of the Spartan games, like, in protest.
Yeah.
Because they like gave the rule book away for free or some shit. I don't know. It was some weird thing.
I mean, I don't have problems with Spartan Games. They're... That was the one that we remember we brought the starter set on for Dystopian Legions, and it came with a 60-page starter rulebook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, fuck it, I'm out.
Starter rulebook should not be 60 pages
I'm
long.
I'm out.
I think it was even more. I think it was like 100 pages.
Yeah, those rules were... All of their games have terrible rules, and they don't have an excuse, because their English is their first language.
Yeah. Well, you know how on the previous podcast I was complaining about how the British are not very specific with their rules? Like, they always just leave it open? Like, if you're behind this type of train, you get this type of, you know, cover save. And you're like, well, what?
What's that kind of terrain?
Right, yeah. Oh, if you're in light cover, you get plus one die. It's like, well, what's light cover? Oh, it's like a wall. Well, what if the wall's taller than the person? Well, it's true line of sight. But what if the person is, like, standing up? It's like, you can figure it out.
You'll figure it out, kids. Give me some money. Here's some models.
Yeah. Spartan Games, on the other hand, was like super specific with everything they put, which is not terrible. It was just a really hard to read rule book.
Right. And it wasn't simple enough to be entertaining.
Yeah. It was the exact opposite of like bolt action.
Right. They wrote a book where you're supposed, they wrote a book where you should just have one really big ship. And your opponent has one really big ship, and you maneuver around the table with your large ship toy, and you just battle that way.
Toot, toot.
Yes. You go toot, toot. Not a fucking fleet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the game's not bad, but they so they picked up the license for Halo, and they're going to do, apparently from what I was reading online, it's mainly a space battle game, but they're going to be doing a ground forces game. So I'm assuming it's going to be just a port of the system for Firestorm Armada. Is what they're going probably to do. And what's the planet drop? Drop planet? Planet side? The ground-based one that they
did. It's Firestorm Armada. They don't have a different name for it. It's Firestorm Armada base game. Or Firestorm Combat Zone or some shit.
It's, yeah, it's like Firestorm Armada.
Because Drop Zone Commander is not...
No. It does have a name to it. I can't think of what it is. But it's their tabletop version.
Sorry, I'm getting some palpitations because I was talking about Drop Zone Commander.
Drop Zone Commander.
That's the game that got away.
The game that got away. I just love the terrain. And the starter set is so awesome.
The starter set's great. The terrain's awesome.
Yeah.
I really like the minis.
Damn.
Fuck.
Maybe you and Kevin could get the two-player starter and play with each other.
Not doing that.
Just play a little bit.
No. Not doing that. It's gonna stay on high. Forever out of reach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll leave it there. That's where it should be.
I think it's called Planet Side is what it's called.
I don't know. It's called Nobody Really Cares because nobody plays it.
They have... Fucking Spartan, it just drives me nuts because there's never any player support for anything. They put the stuff out there. They have a forum up there. They have, you know, like all this stuff. But it's like you want to try and, you know, engage them as a company. And they're just like, nope.
Like, hey, Spartan, what about this ship? How does it move? Well, you see, mate, when you move your ship, you need to put your tape measure down and measure. But that's not what I meant. It has special rules and stuff. You put your tape down and measure.
No, it's...
Aw, my rim shot failed. That sucks. Oh, I'm a lucky visitor, I see. That's why.
But yeah, it's like... But it's more like...
Yay!
Yay! Like certain companies, they have their websites, you have the forums, and you put painted pictures up of their figures, or you know, you're like doing stuff, and you'll have someone dedicated from the company going on there and being like, "Well, this is, you know, that's really cool, man. It's great, and blah blah blah. I'm glad you're doing this." Fucking Spartan just does not care. Spartan doesn't care about white people. That's what I'm saying.
Hashtag second world problems.
Second world problems. The Spartan, they're just, they drive me nuts. But anyway, they're doing the Halo thing, and it looks kind of cool.
I want to play a minis game that uses a hex board.
Hex board?
Yeah.
Like Ogre?
Not Ogre.
Battletech?
Not Ogre, no, Battletech's a hex map. I want, like, the tiles. I want hex tiles. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Okay. Any game could use a hex tile, but you got to use it for movement. It's
different. That's what I'm saying. I want a game that's designed for it.
What's it? Demon World? I think that uses a hex system.
Oh, isn't that the one that uses like the like super old like 80s hair metal art?
I don't remember.
I think it's what it is.
Yeah. It's a, like a 10mm game. It's kind of like War Master.
A Wii one. Yeah. That's cool.
I don't remember the name. I think it's Demon World.
I don't know. I think that's fun. I really like that. Like the hex. I don't know. I think it's because it reminds me of the old like SSI strategy games.
You could play Battles of Westeros that uses that. Or any battle lore.
That's true. Battle horror.
Battlelore.
But Battlelore is like a fucking constantly, it has a constant stock issue. Like, even if I got into it ham, like, that's a game that's very hard to, like.
Well, they only have the one set now.
Well, Westeros is different.
Westeros is dead. They haven't put anything out for Westeros done. In like 3 years.
But like Battlelore itself is like very like the restocking is not.
Yeah. Well, that's because they rebranded it with all the Descent background and lore, I believe.
I don't know if they actually launched that version yet.
You know, that was the one that they did at Adepticon. Not Adepticon. They did at Gen Con, I think, 2 years ago. They did the release.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track of that game because there's a lot of shit for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad system. It's actually kind of a fun system.
Isn't it Command and Colors system?
Yeah, it's the Command and Colors system. The Bjornborg or whatever that is.
Bjornborg.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something Borg, I know.
I picked up Twilight Imperium.
Oh, did you?
With both expansions.
Oh. Yes. That's not I think it's Richard Borg who does it.
I also picked up Rex, Final Days of an Empire.
I'll play Rex with you. That's not a very complicated game.
And
well, it's complicated, but it's not like
You have to have at least 3 players for Rex.
Yeah.
Also, Rex is optimal at max players apparently, which is 6, I think.
Eek, that's rough.
4 would be okay. I think it just needs to be even.
I just want
to
find. Let's. You know what? I want to find the original.
And then I got Battle of Five Armies from Ares.
Oh, that's a good game.
It's big.
It's a big game. It's big. I want to get the original Dune. Just so I can quote lines from Dune while playing it.
You should just quote lines from Dune while playing Rex, and it won't make any sense.
Spice must flow.
Like it. I'm really into Sandrooms right now. You probably wouldn't heard of them. They're way underground.
I love Dune. Dune is one of my favorite books, but the problem with Dune is, I think I've said this on the podcast before, it took me 5 tries to get through that first damn chapter. Like, every time I pick up the book, I start reading it, and I just be like, page 1. Ugh!
I was pissed because Beetlejuice wasn't in the movie.
Beetlejuice. Oh, the star?
Yeah. No, Beetlejuice. Not the star. The ghost. The ghost of the most. Who fights sandworms.
Oh.
Like,
yeah.
Fucks up with that.
I don't know.
You have a movie about sandworms and you don't put Beetlejuice in it? Actually, I think Dune came up before Beetlejuice.
Yes, way before.
Fuck.
I think Beetlejuice was 86 or 87. I know. I think Dune was 82, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, man. I love Steven Universe. Podcast on hold. Gotta watch this episode.
Gotta watch this episode. Yeah, and Spartan also has a Kickstarter right now for modular terrain that's super overpriced. And it's just like, you guys have never actually looked at a successful Kickstarter and learned anything from what they are saying, have you?
No.
And they're like, no, why would we? Actually, they didn't.
Who needs that shit?
They didn't respond to it at all.
Nobody needs that shit.
Nobody needs that shit. Oh, that's just getting kind of annoying right now.
Yes.
So do we have anything else that we need to talk about?
I don't want you to disrespect LeVar Burton anymore.
It's LeVar fucking Burton. It's Jordy LaForge.
You show him what's up. It's Jordy LaForge. It's Kimu Kundu or whatever his name was in.
Oh my God.
Roots.
It's, I can only do it if I quote the line from the movie, but that would be really racist and I want to do that right now.
I mean, you are really racist, so you might as well go for it.
It's Toby is his slave name.
Kunta Kinte.
Kunta Kinte, thank you.
Yeah, I think that's him. I actually don't know.
That's him, yeah.
I haven't seen Roots, so.
You never saw Roots?
No.
God, I've watched Roots like 6 times, and every time it's always was in school.
Yeah, I've never seen
it. It's not bad. I mean, it's...
I can't tell you if it's bad. I haven't seen it.
It's a late 70s TV miniseries, so...
It sounds bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that you had to see growing up, and you're like, I have to accept the fact that this is a thing. Like, if you watch it now, you're just like, oh, this is terribly paced.
Like St. Elmo's Fire.
Did you ever actually watch St. Elmo's Fire? Okay, that's what I thought.
No.
No? No Rob Lowe for you?
No. All I want is Rob Lowe making out with Rob Lowe.
Ooh, that's nice.
Why do you have a laser pointer?
Need it for true line of sight, man.
No, God. See, you play shitty games with true line of sight.
Oh, I don't disagree with you, sir. I do not disagree with you. But, yeah, so that's about all I got on the news front. I haven't played too many games lately. I have been putting together some of the Relic Knight stuff that I've
been playing a fuck ton of CCGs. And finally getting around to building my Dark Age.
Yeah?
Well, my new Dark Age.
Your new Dark Age? You've been playing Force of Will?
Yes, Force of Will. Force of Will just came out, so we put together some decks.
This looks
some
like
battling.
Seriously every anime I've ever seen. That's what it looks like.
Really fucking awesome.
Is it? What makes it better than like Any other card game?
Because it's all card games. It's like the all-father of card games.
Is it like Zeus All-Father?
Here, I'll
Odin,
show
you. Odin All-Father?
I'll show you. This one.
This just looks... it might be great, but it looks terrible.
Well, dude, you don't like card games, so it doesn't fucking... that's not a thing.
Ooh, you have a foil.
Yeah, the game's got the same rarities as Magic, so there's rares and then there's super rares,
yeah.
Which is a mythic in Magic. Yeah, so like, yeah. This is your ruler, and I've got this thing, Yamada no Orochi, the eight disasters.
Oh, that just sounds so bad.
He's the eight disasters. Here's some fucking Humpty Dumpty, yo.
Grimm, the fairy tale prince.
Yep. Here's Glinda. Yeah, that's the Oz Glinda. And of course, this card, which makes it one of the best games of all time, once you take a look at this little bad boy. Yeah.
Absolute cake zone.
Absolute cake zone.
So it's... I'm confused by this. Is there... Like, what does it mean by absolute cakes?
It's a zone of absolute cake.
So, but if you go into the zone...
You can't go into the zone, because it's a cake zone.
Okay.
And then check out the Cheshire Cat, who's going to turn you on. Yeah.
That is a sexy anime cat woman thing.
With dead ass, though.
Dead ass. DS.
Yeah, they actually have a lot of different art styles, which is kind of cool.
But as I say, it just looks like every other fucking anime thing I've ever seen in my life, and most card games I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't seen much anime, so that makes sense. What have you seen, like, Cowboy Bebop?
Yeah, I've seen anime, but it's not like I care enough to, like truly learn anime.
Yeah, look, they have a lot of, like, the art styles aren't all the same, so, like, this is, like...
Yeah, but I'm just saying it just looks like every other anime thing I've ever seen.
Which is weird to me, because, like, most of them have, like, most anime things have a, like, set style, and this one is not. This one's, like, there's, like, your classic, like, this is, like, a TV show anime, and then, like, this is just like artwork that looks like that's Western, or you can't. This has no point of origin.
That's Humpty Dumpty for those. Yeah, listening Humpty Dumpty.
I'm just going over each thing. Like, you know, this one's clearly anime, but it's like Record of Lotus War.
Yeah. That looks like Final Fantasy.
Yep, that's Final. Yep, yeah, that looks Final Fantasy. This one is like kind of Final Fantasy ish thingy. I don't know how to pin that one. It's like a giant eight headed dragon. You know, there's a lot going on with that.
Yeah, that's kind of Final Fantasy-ish.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really like the art. I think I think that's one of the selling points about the game.
I mean, it's nice. I mean, everything looks very well designed with it. I just, as I say, it looks like...
So, the reason this is the all-father, I said this is the all-father of card games, is because it has everything.
Does it have tapping?
So, like, it does, which is in every card game. And
does it have a discard pile?
Yeah, they don't call it tapping, obviously, because, you know, like Legend of the Five Rings, which came out while Wizards of the Coast's patent was still around, they called it bowing.
Bowing.
But you actually, interestingly enough, you can't patent the mechanics of a game. I don't know if you knew that.
You can't patent the mechanics of a game.
You cannot patent the mechanics of a game. That is not patentable. What you can patent... is like, so example, taking a card and turning it sideways,
yeah,
you can't patent that.
Okay.
But taking a card, turning it sideways and calling it tap, you can patent that.
Yeah, okay.
That's what it is. So like there's a lot of stuff that like is not actually, you can't sue people over, which is another reason I think the whole
mythic,
the hex lawsuit
hex,
with
that's
Watsi,
not mythic, yeah,
but
hex.
Reading more into that lawsuit, the angle that Wizards is going for is they're saying that hex has stolen their designs by hacking them basically through Magic Online.
Oh.
So that's what they're going with. They're taking our card designs and using them. So like that's more of a, you could probably get more action in that one. So
a little more traction.
So I know it's been a long time since you've played any card game, but yeah. This is what this game has going for it. So you draw five cards to open.
Okay, he's drawing five cards.
Yeah, I'm doing
He's
I'm
already
doing,
sleeved his cards.
I'm doing everything as I'm saying it out loud.
Not. He's not a savage player here. He's sleeved his cards.
When you mulligan in this game, in Magic, you take your hand, you shuffle your hand back into the deck, and you redraw one less card.
Okay.
In this game, it has the best mulligan rule. You'd go, I don't want this card, one. I don't want this card, two. You take the cards you do not want. They go to the bottom of your deck.
Okay.
And you redraw the amount of cards you put back. You can do it once.
Okay.
So that is the mulligan rule for this game.
Okay.
Much better than Magic, where you put all your cards back, shuffle, draw six. You can mulligan subsequent times in Magic, but you lose a card each time. So most of the time, you go down to, like, if you go down to five, you just lose.
Yeah.
You're just like, I got five cards. Looks like I lose. So this game, you You draw first, which is weird because Magic's untapped first. But so you draw, and then this has sort of land like Magic. I'm sure you remember you could play one land a turn. They're in your deck.
Yes.
But this one has a special character who starts on the field. He's your ruler. You turn him sideways. He takes the top card of a separate deck of cards.
I see. They're sleeved separately.
That is all land, and you put it into play.
Interesting.
So you cannot in this game lose because of the land variance. You don't get too many. You don't get too few. It's a gaming choice because these cards, the rulers have. There's a lot of different types of them. They're like they would be the theme of your deck.
Mm-hmm.
So turning them sideways to get a land. Some of them have abilities where you turn them sideways to use their abilities. So if you want to use the ability, you obviously can't get a land for that turn.
Okay.
So they make it into a gaming choice rather than just being like, shit, I didn't draw any lands. Go?
Go,
I guess. Great. You know, cool. We're having a good time. This ruler is actually very specifically different. He only has one side. Most of the other rulers are double-sided cards. They have an ability you play. You flip them on the other side. They turn into another creature. So there's that. There's elements of a lot of games. This game, when you attack with one card at a time, and then you can go back to the main phase to play more cards.
How do your rulers evolve Pokemon style?
They don't. They can activate judgment if they are double-sided. They have a cost.
They can judge you?
They judge you.
Oh.
They judge you, Joe. So when I'm playing, if my ruler has judgment, I would activate judgment and judge you. And I would find ye guilty.
Okay. Okay. If it's your thing, man, more power to you.
But if anyone is interested in CCGs at all, if you've played a card game before, you will probably find the best element of that card game included in this game. Because that's basically what they did. They made the ultimate of, like, I would say, a lawsuit game. if you will, if they weren't Japanese, this is probably a game that would never be able to fly in the States from an American company, because it's fucking everything. It's got Magic feel, it's got card fight feel, it has Legend of the Five Rings, it has World of Warcraft. You know, every card game is similar in some way. This one just takes the best parts of everything,
which is what you want in a card game.
It's what you want. Yeah. There's a very small amount of variance. Versus System was a game that was like that. Versus the Marvel and DC card game. That was a game.
Dude, are you excited about Spider-Man being in the Marvel movies?
I don't know.
I'm kind of am.
Let me see it. Let me see it first.
I'm way more excited about that than anything DC has done. So
I don't know. Any comic book movies at this point, I just want to see them before. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy kind of like put me in a weird position. Like, when I first heard they were going to do a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I'm like, that's the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, that's going to be horse shit. Like, that's going to be garbage.
But then you were like, oh.
But I watched it, and it was really good. So I have now changed my stance on comic book movies. I am just going to see, I'm going to watch them. I'm going to evaluate them after the viewing.
Okay.
So like Ant-Man is the next Guardians for me. Like I think that looks fucking awful. So I'm just like, well, we'll see. I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
I'm going to see it. I mean, it's a Marvel Studios movie. So like they can't allow one of their movies to fail.
Yeah.
They just can't. So that does make me happy.
But at the same time, they could become rather generic.
Right, that's the problem. Like, you know, how do you sustain the impact that the movies are having by, like, you know, over and over? I think the tied universe thing is really cool because no one's ever done that.
No, and they do it really well too.
Right, and no one's ever done anything like that before. Like, it's very cool. Any crossover franchise could learn a lot from just how Marvel, and technically Marvel's, it's not even really a crossover, you know, it's all Marvel.
Yeah.
But like anyone who wants to crossover franchises could learn a lot from how Marvel does it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you drop the breadcrumbs and then like they find the cake and they're like, oh, this must be near the absolute cake zone.
Ooh, the absolute cake. I just like that. What's the temperature? I like the temperature of absolute cake. Like that just, like, that's what I hear in my, because it's not absolute zero. It's absolute cake.
Absolute cake. It's the absolute cake zone. Right. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fine. Like, I don't really like Spider-Man. I think Spider-Man's pretty shitty as a
Spider-Man.
Character. For the most part.
Well, the thing is, the problem is just that Spider-Man's always been done very, very shittily over the past few years.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man's usually pretty crappy. My favorite thing about Spider-Man, the best thing about Spider-Man was actually from when he joined the Avengers. And he's like talking with Iron Man and Captain America, I think, on the roof of the Baxter Building,
or the Avengers Tower.
Yeah, is it? Oh, the Baxter Building's the Fantastic Four. Yeah, the Avengers Tower, and like he's like hemming and hawing about joining it, and Iron Man's like, "We have money," and he's like, "Oh, thank God!" And he like hugs Iron Man. I like that. I like the like. The idea of Spider-Man where he's just like broke
and he's poor. That's like always, that's been the thing. Like, that's why I say they always do Spider-Man wrong, because the cool thing about Spider-Man was that he's a broke
ass. His life sucks.
His life is terrible.
Yeah, his life sucks. And like, he's a superhero, which is sweet, but it sucks.
And like, and everyone, like, and he's not really like a, like, the other thing that they always miss with Spider-Man is people don't really like Spider-Man. Like,
right. They think he's weird.
They think he's like, like,
because they think he's a mutant.
No, yeah, yeah. Or
although, isn't a lot of the mutant hate like kind of gone in the...
Well, it's more like okay, so like he's being really popular amongst the street people, you know, like the average Joe, but like the people like J. Jonah Jameson hates him.
Well, yeah.
Spider-Man.
Give me poems about Spider-Man.
I want pictures about Spider-Man.
I need poems about Spider-Man.
All right. So that's about it for this week. Do we got anything else?
And actually this game is a smash right now. It's
was it a smash? Was it a monster mash?
Distributors are sold out of it already. That's very good sign,
Steve,
for a card
Steve
game.
How many game classes do you give it?
I give Force of Will 10 out of 10 game classes.
Well, I give it 11 out of 13.
Fuck, man, that's a huge, that's a tough score.
That's a tough score.
It's a tough score, but fair. Tough, but fair. I give it a butt action out of a 40K.
I give it three Lay's potato chips out of an Absolute Cake Zone.
Fucking love the Absolute Cake Zone.
Just, that's the way we're just going to score everything from now on. Just give me some, like, weird score.
Out of a something? Good.
Out of a something.
Right, can
yeah.
do.
So go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy. Like the Facebook page. Also, like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. We just got a new comment on iTunes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hook it up.
It's Grist the Gnome. This is
hello,
actually-
Grist.
it's Grist von Druden.
I wonder if he's related to David the Gnome, or if he knows David's Fox Swift.
GW hating dick jokes, gaming news. I like it, and I have almost ran off the road twice from laughing. I'm jelly of the host's ability to burst into song, and that's what makes me a grognard. He spelled grognard wrong. And the host's entertainers.
What a very grognard thing to say.
What a very grognard. I'm not a grognard. But thank you, Gris. I still every once in a while I still go there and just read the vulgar one.
So vulgar.
The guy did another one. The same guy. Like I look at his reviews and every one of them is always about the vulgarity of the podcast. He only rates podcasts he doesn't like.
What a fucking vagina.
You know what though? He's got a thing and he does it. So let him just do his thing. Byzantium, if you look him up, you can see, like, he was like, there's no need to swear that much.
What a fucking dildo.
He's not gonna listen to us.
I don't fucking care. He's still a fucking dildo. He doesn't need to hear me call him a dildo to know he's a dildo.
Yeah.
He's just too busy, like,
kind
of flopping around.
What you
gonna
say? Also, go to the YouTubes and find us there if you want to listen to us there for some odd reason or another. You want to make a playlist. You want to. There's no real reason to, but go ahead.
YouTube apps have there's some cool shit you can do with YouTube apps. Audio. I had on my older phone, I had a thing called YouTube Radio where I basically like I can put subs in that radio, and then I can make playlists, and then I could also set it to interject with things I've subbed. So I mean I don't know if this is a reason, because I mean a lot of people requested to put the podcast on YouTube.
They don't listen to it, so fuck them.
so like what mine would do is like I would put on my playlist of videos that I added to, you know, the playlist that I made, but I also would put in a subscription, like a subscription break. So while I was listening to songs, if someone I was subscribed to put up a new video, it would play it at one of those breakpoints. So like I'm listening to my normal playlist, and then it's like, oh hey, this new podcast came on YouTube. So like bam. So like it just interjected my like daily playlist with like new stuff while I was listening to it. So I don't know if anyone else uses that kind of shit, but like that was really cool. And that's not a feature. I don't think that's a feature on like any audio program like iTunes or whatever.
Oh yeah, totally. I'm looking at our the scores for the latest podcast. So on YouTube,
you didn't use a sexy anime lady though.
I did not use a sexy anime lady.
You fucking dropped the goddamn ball.
Yeah, I did. I totally. What are you doing?
I'm playing some Star Realms.
Our last one. Oh, wow. The last podcast we did had 69 views.
69.
But the one before that ended up with like 241. That's Werner Herzog's Warhammer 9th edition.
Werner Herzog. Listen to me. You will not win.
But turn off that Star Realms.
Hang on. I'm winning.
God damn it. Yes. All right. So also,
I highly recommend the Star Realms app.
Also listen to a Patch Retro Video Game Review Podcast, a.k.a. Play On, where you can be interrupted with...
I want
to
call it Pat On.
Yeah, Pat On, also known as Play On, where you can listen to ads all the time for all the ads that are... Game Classy, ad-free for 3 years.
Wait, Pat On is full of ads now?
Yeah, they got C2E2 thing. Yeah, we're getting press badges, so I don't think we should complain too much, but...
It's true. I need those badges.
You need those badges.
I need those stinking badges!
All right, so Steve, until next time.
If you subscribe to 773.439 and point your browser to www.patclassy@planetarbitrary.com, you can qualify yourself to save 15%
on
your
car
next purchase.
On your car insurance.
15% on your next purchase of car insurance, and also a discount on vitamins like ginkgo biloba.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum.
Game Classy.